Hey everyone, welcome to Nowhere to Run. Thank you for tuning in however you found it, whether on iTunes or various podcasts or the Revelations Radio Network or Revere Radio Network or the Black Vault Radio Network. Thanks again for tuning in. You can go to the website, which is nowheretorunradio.com, and there you can find links to email me any questions or comments you may have about previous shows or anything that I have wrong and need to be corrected on or to make corrections on. We'll be glad to hear from you there. This show is actually going to be a rather short show, so I apologize to anybody that downloaded it hoping for an hour's worth of rant about nothing much at all. But this is actually going to be the audio from a recent video I did called Council of Nicaea Myth Debunked, and you can find it on YouTube if you wanted to Google it, and it'll also be on the front page of the NowhereToRunRadio.com website this week. So anyway, it came about because I was talking with somebody who had a question that was rather like a lot of questions that I've heard, which is, you know, how can I trust the Bible because it's been edited by so many people so often, and what about the Council of Nicaea, which chose the books of the canon, supposedly. And so I've often found that to be a very crucial deception, because it makes people question the very thing of which we should be solidly convinced on. The Bible can be the thing in which we interpret reality through, the bedrock in which we can discern the rest of the world. And I know what that must sound like to people, but I think once you start figuring that out, it really is such a strength. One thing, obviously, is biblical prophecy. You know, it being something like 25% of the Bible was prophecy at the time it was written. And these aren't like Nostradamus-type prophecies. These are very specific, very detailed prophecies that if this was on the Discovery Channel every day, by the way, I just checked on the Discovery Channel, they have the like general manager of, no, not the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, the general manager is like, you know, executive producer of some very, very anti-Christian movies. But anyway, you know, if they put on that kind of stuff that, you know, they'll put Nostradamus on there like 6 hours a day, you know, three times a week, but these are very specific prophecies. Like Alexander the Great spared the city of Jerusalem at one point because they showed him the prophecies that concerned him. These aren't just, you know, vague fly-by-night prophecies that came true. It's never missed. And that's significant, you know, because if God really does exist and he wanted to get a message to us, that is how he would validate it, you know, by essentially writing history in advance. I'm indebted to Chuck Missler for that. That simple and yet very true statement. So anyway, but that's why this particular deception is very, very bad, because it attacks that very foundation, and it's really unnecessary. And I'm actually very, I'm surprised that no one has called out how ridiculously stupid this conspiracy theory is about the Council of Nicaea, because it has very little basis. I mean, very little, but yet there's very little information on its debunking. So here we go. It's just about 7 minutes long. It's called Council of Nicaea Myth Debunked. Thank you. Good night. I've often heard people say, how can we trust the Bible? It has been edited and re-edited by men. And that everyone knows the Bible was censored by the Roman Catholic Church in 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea. To this I would say, are you sure about that? Have you ever looked into it for yourself? The fact is that the subject of the canon never came up at the Council of Nicaea, and we have all the council rulings, plus reports by several attendees to absolutely prove that the council never issued any such rulings, nor even discussed such ideas as censoring or changing the Bible in any way. The canon of the New Testament was not even on the agenda of the Council of Nicaea. For the most part, this idea is the creation of Dan Brown, the author of the Da Vinci Code, and many others. It is simply not true. It seems the Council of Nicaea was convened in an attempt to settle the controversy raised by Arianism. The council also addressed disciplinary decisions concerning the status and jurisdiction of the clergy in the early church, and for establishing the date on which Easter is celebrated. Remember, at the time of the Council of Nicaea, the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy did not yet exist. But the Roman Emperor Constantine knew that he was having trouble gaining legitimacy among Christians. He craved this and sought out Eusebius to see how to make this happen. Eusebius suggested a council of all the independent Christian churches within the Roman Empire, and Constantine agreed. There was no central authority. The bishops that were summoned derived their authority from their own independent, local, Bible-believing congregations, which was functioning quite well without the interference of Rome. In fact, many of them still bared the scars of persecution from the Roman Empire and were rightly skeptical of such a gathering. So you may ask, when was the canon decided upon? All 27 books were accepted by the end of the first century, and every New Testament book was cited as authoritative by a church father within one generation. We have more than 32,000 New Testament quotations from early church writers from the 2nd and 3rd centuries. In fact, we could recreate virtually the entire New Testament just from the quotes of the early church writers of the 2nd and 3rd centuries. We can be quite certain that the New Testament we have today has come down to us just as it is from the earliest days, and we can be quite certain what they consider to be Scripture. In fact, by around 200 AD, 125 years before the Council of Nicaea, they were quite openly quoting and referencing all the New Testament books of the Bible, and only those books. The New Testament was canonized not in Nicaea, but in the first century while the apostles were alive and all the facts could be checked out. For example, Paul's letters were already considered scripture in the mid-first century. Take a look at how the apostle Peter himself called them scripture in his letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And conversely, the Apostle Paul, writing between AD 62 and AD 65, quoted Luke chapter 10, verse 7, and called it Scripture. Irenaeus, writing in about 170 AD, tells us that the fourfold gospel was already a rock-solid fact by then. The fact that the fourfold gospel is also reflected in the so-called Muratorian fragment, which was written about the same time, 170 AD, note 155 years before Nicaea, that the Muratorian fragment lists for us basically the whole New Testament canon, and it shows us once again that the fourfold gospel was an established fact by then. Justin Martyr also confirms the validity of the four gospels, writing between 150 and 155 AD. The sheer number of quotations by the early church fathers of these canonical New Testament writings, and only those writings, clearly shows that the early church had decided long before the Council of Nicaea which books they considered to be inspired. So what about the Gnostic Gospels, such as the Gospel of Thomas? Dan Brown of the Da Vinci Code says the only reason they weren't put in the Bible is because the Catholic Church didn't like what they had to say. Is that true? The answer is no. A large number of spurious documents emerged during the centuries following the ministries of the apostles and were universally rejected by the early church. Copies of a group of these were found at Nag Hammadi in Egypt, dating from the 3rd and 4th centuries. And these are uncritically accepted by Dan Brown as accurate. These include the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Philip, the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Truth, and about 4 dozen others. They were written under false pseudonyms, such as Thomas, and even the promoters of these documents do not claim that the disciple Thomas actually wrote it. They were all written centuries after the Gospel period, in contrast to the contemporaneous eyewitness accounts in the New Testament, and don't even claim to be actual records of events. One quote concerning the Gospel of Thomas is that it is probably our earliest significant witness to the early perversion of Christianity by those who wanted to create Jesus in their own image. And, ultimately, the Gospel of Thomas testifies not to what Jesus said, but to what men wished he had said. And finally, let's look at a few points regarding the Nag Hammadi texts and the Gospel of Thomas, which appears to be the most likely of the Gnostic texts to be valid. The only firm evidence for dating the Gospel of Thomas is its earliest Greek fragments, which was written no later than about AD 200. The first reference to the Gospel of Thomas by name occurs no earlier than Hippolytus, who was writing after AD 222 and 235. The author of the Gospel of Thomas shows a decided dependence on the canonical Gospels, demonstrating a later date for its composition than they. Ironically, this fact is used as one of the sole reasons for dating the Gospel of Thomas before the canonical Gospels. They claim that the less detailed and poorly developed concepts in the Gospel of Thomas reflect an earlier date than the canonical Gospels. However, literary scholars have noted that the opposite is generally true in literary development. For instance, a masterpiece is usually created, thereby establishing a genre type, and then future authors will try to copy that genre with less success, rather than a poorly developed version being turned into a masterpiece later on. To the charge that there is no literary references to the Gospel of Thomas until the 3rd century, the answer is usually something to the effect that the Christians somehow destroyed any record of it. This, of course, is hard to believe because the Christians at this point were being persecuted by the Roman Empire and were operating underground in small house churches circulating their own writings and would have little time or authority to march into anyone's house and destroy their writings against their will. In conclusion, the canon of the New Testament was not even on the agenda at the Council of Nicaea. The books that made up the New Testament were for the most part obvious and came about very organically and were agreed upon universally hundreds of years before the Council of Nicaea. And there is literally no record whatsoever of the early church considering the Gnostic Gospels to be anything but obvious heresies. Thank you for your time.